Welcome to today's live broadcast from the USDA Radio Studios in Washington, D.C., featuring the Chief of USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service, Jason Weller. It's now my pleasure to introduce NRCS Chief Jason Weller.
Thank you very much, Rod. It's great to be here today, and I'm very excited to share with you and members of the media about this exciting announcement on today's release, which is about the Conservation Innovation Grants Program. Let me talk a little bit about, set some context about what today is. So at NRCS, folks know we have close to an 80-year history of working one-on-one with farmers and ranchers across the country. And the assistance we provide, both on the planning side but also on the implementation side, makes a world of difference to these producers. And it's about helping them be both sustainable producers of food and fiber, managing the resources effectively, but also about helping them be economically sustainable, how for the long term they can really stay on the land and produce that food and fiber that's so necessary. We have a suite of tried and true conservation solutions that we've used over the decades in different tillage practices, soil management practices, nutrient management practices, different engineering solutions that are really successful and we think are leading edge, if not world class. However, given just the state of play in agriculture today, it's very fast paced, it's evolving and innovating as we speak. Farmers themselves are coming up with new ideas, new solutions, but also significant investments being made by universities, by for-profit ag associations, by industry itself, on how to even be more productive in the future and be more efficient with the use of inputs and other economic costs. So at NRCS, we have, through the Farm Bill, a tool which is called the Conservation Innovation Grants Program, or many people call it CIG, C-I-G. And through this program, over the past decade or so, NRCS has also partnered with a variety of organizations to help push that envelope, really help not just NRCS, but the conservation movement really innovate and seek out what is the leading edge of farming and ranching today and how we can really ensure farmers and ranchers are successful on their lands using effective conservation practices. So over the past decade, since 2004, just at the national level, NRCS has issued around $200 million worth of CIG grants, conservation innovation grants, to over 540 different national level agreements over the past decade. So we are making an impact in terms of pushing, advancing the cause, advancing innovation on the landscape at a very significant scale. But beyond the federal investment, what's also really exciting is this program then leverages non-federal investment. That's a requirement of the program. It's a 50-50 match. And through that $200 million federal taxpayer investment, we've leveraged over $210 million of non-federal match. That's coming from universities, from farmers and ranchers themselves, from nonprofit organizations. So it's really about a total investment portfolio well over $400 million just over the last decade. So it's really an amazing story to tell just on the investment side. In terms of what this investment has generated, it's also really exciting. And so what today we're talking about is this next step in terms of what this year's investment is going to provide. So it's a very competitive program. Let me just start out and say we received close to 400 applications and at the outset, and at the end of the day, because of the limited budget we have, and because it's a very competitive program, today we're announcing funding, a total funding investment of $15.7 million, and that's going to be invested through 47 awardees. So these awardees are really, it's a spectrum of different organizations. It includes universities, soil and water conservation districts, tribal organizations, nonprofit organizations, a resource conservation and development council, a wide variety and very diverse group of folks that we're going to be co-investing with. And the issues that are going to be helping us then advance innovation, advancing the mission, again, a wide waterfront. And we've helped then, instead of just randomly coming in and investing, what we really try to do is help identify for an agency from a national conservation standpoint, what are the key areas that we believe collectively we need to co-invest in. So today the Secretary is going to be at an event in Illinois specifically talking about soil health. And for our agency and for many other organizations, this is sort of cutting edge where we're at right now in terms of trying to really push and advance our understanding of the health, the biology, the chemistry, and the physical properties of soil. But how do you manage the soils most effectively to improve the health of that soil ecosystem to ultimately benefit farming and ranching? So over about half of our projects that we're funding this year are specifically focused on soil health. But it's not just all about soil health. We have projects we'll be investing in that are looking at how to expand the use of market mechanisms. In this case, for environmental ecosystem services, we're going to be investing in how to improve our assistance to historically underserved communities, so socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers, to beginning and limited resource producers. So we have seven projects we're going to be investing in that to specifically advance our work with and how to figure out how to work even more effectively with these historically underserved communities. We're going to be working with producers on advancing our understanding of and use of innovation with nutrient management, on irrigation water efficiency, on how to protect and improve air quality. There are a lot of different resource issues that this year's investments, what we're talking about today, is really going to make a major difference on. I'm very excited to see the return on these investments in the coming years. So to help put a little context, there are four projects that I want to specifically highlight and just spend a couple minutes talking about, so add a little flesh to the bones here. And so people have a sense, I think, of the diversity of what we're talking about. And this isn't just about fine-tuning an existing practice today. We really are trying to innovate and identify new ways to do our business. So first, because it began with soil health, for example, we're going to be partnering with this year's awardees with the National Grazing Lands Coalition. So for those practitioners who are familiar with soil health, there's been a lot of focus on cropland. And there's a great understanding, and we made great advancement on our knowledge of how to improve the health of the soil on cropland. But last I checked, there's also soils underneath grazing and pasture lands and also forested lands. So what the National Grazing Lands Coalition is going to help us do is they're going to go out and pilot test new ways, what are the different effective practices we can use on range and pasture lands to ultimately improve the health of the soil. What we really want to do is work with livestock producers and figure out what are the practices, but also the management techniques that they can use to not just improve the health of the vegetation that they care about, the forage or their animals, but ultimately it's about the health of their soil. So they're not just livestock producers, they're not just grass farmers, they really are soil conservationists. And if you care for your soils, you're therefore ensuring the long-term capacity of your rangelands and your pasture lands to grow forage that then you can use for your livestock. And it will help you better withstand drought, as also as wet periods, and really ultimately will provide for an economically sustainable ranching operation. So we're very excited to partner with the National Grazing Lands Coalition. Another example of how I mentioned earlier on environmental markets, we're going to be partnering with the Pinchot Institute for Conservation. So stepping back for a second, if you look broadly across the nation, we're having, now the economy's starting to pick up again, we're having a lot more conversion of rural land. So about every minute, we lose 4 acres of forested and open space land to development. 4 acres every minute of every day of every week. The predominance of that land conversion is happening on small family-owned wooded lands. These are small wooded plots where, for a variety of reasons, the families, the landowners, it's hard to get an economic benefit gain out of those wooded lands. But they still have to pay taxes on them. They still have to manage them. And so the families are looking for, how do we keep our lands intact? How they want to keep it forested, but they can't afford to keep it that way. So the Pinchot Institute is coming up with innovative ways on how to get an actual economic return. How do you get money flow, capital flow, through your forested woodland acres? And so what they're coming up with is a pilot test to pilot the buying and selling of carbon credits. So these woodland owners who are going to be voluntarily participating with us can sell carbon sequestration credits to the effective long-term management of their wooded lands to then willing buyers. And they can work through an exchange. So they get to actually buy and sell credits. And it's a way then to get actual real-time economic value from your wooded lands. And at the end of the day, that's a really good thing, not just for carbon sequestration, but ultimately for a variety of other benefits that woods provide. Species habitat for both game and at-risk species, water quality, water quantity. The majority of our water here in the United States actually comes off of wooded lands, whether they're public or private forested lands. Folks in urban communities like here in Washington, D.C. depend upon the forest or the water supply. This is really about an investment in green infrastructure, in this case, protecting both the air, the water, and the wildlife species we have, but through an innovative market mechanism. And then there are two other projects I'd like to highlight, and this is more focused on our outreach, working with the historically underserved community. And there are a couple of great projects here that I think are, to me, I'm very excited to see how they come out in terms of long-term their success. One is dealing in Alaska, working with Alaska Native Corporations, called the Copper River Utna Intertribal Resource Conservation District. So what we're working with this district, with this partner here, is how do we improve the capacity of these Native Alaskan corporations and the regional tribal communities to build conservation planning expertise as part of their conservation district, but then better manage their forest resources for, in this case, wildlife, which they use for sustenance hunting, for sustainable food production. This specifically, we're talking about caribou. So for a lot of Alaska Natives, they depend upon caribou for a food source. And so we're helping to build capacity through innovative training techniques, but also use of innovative technology to help plan and manage forest resources for the benefit of caribou, which is good for the wildlife, but it's then also about providing for sustainable food supply for some pretty remote areas of Alaska where it's very difficult to get fresh food in, very expensive and very cost prohibitive. How do we support those rural communities in Alaska? They can sustain their own livelihood, be sustainable long term, but also have access to a food source. And the final project I want to talk real briefly about is the Holmes County Food Hub. Now, it's not immediately intuitive. What is the NRCS, the Conservation Organization, doing partnering with a food hub? Well, what's a food hub? In this case, the Holmes County Food Hub is an organization, a nonprofit organization, that aggregates fresh produce, fresh food, from small-scale farming operations in rural Mississippi. And they aggregate this food, they process it, and they package it in a form that schools can use. They're actually partnering with schools. And this is important, this is significant, because then the food hub is providing a ready source of fresh, nutritious food. In this case, they're working with over 270 schools across the Deep South, particularly in Mississippi, impacting almost 250,000 students. And to date, my understanding is they've supplied close to 170,000 pounds of fresh food. We're talking sweet potatoes, collard greens, other fresh vegetables, in parts of the South where there are high rates of childhood obesity and childhood diabetes. We're introducing students and kids to fresh food, but also getting them to into their diet on a regular basis. So, stepping back for a second, this grant has been helping us identify low-cost, effective conservation practices like low-cost irrigation systems that can be used on small-scale, historically underserved farms. So it's about ensuring these farms are not only environmentally sustainable, but they're used for water and other farm inputs, but then also economically sustainable. It's helping those farmers get more economic production out of their parcels. But now it's also about the healthy sustainability of communities. So through conservation, we're making a difference for small-scale farms, for communities, for kids. And to me, again, I'm really excited. It's really compelling what this grant program is allowing us to do.